Hello and welcome wherever you are in the world. It's a lovely day for a paradigm shift. Here we explore new possibilities of how to view each other in a way that contributes to a kinder, more compassionate world. My name is Teresa Alabada, and today I'll be talking about my father making it to heaven and my experience with the first month of grieving. So, about a month ago, my father passed on, and this is an experience that I had been dreading and anticipating ever since the start of the pandemic 2 years ago in 2020. And with everything that was going on, I just kind of knew it was oncoming. My dad was 89. There was the anti-Asian hate crime news propaganda spreading, the virus, there was just like so many things that were not working in his favor, in my opinion, and I just kind of sensed and knew that this pandemic was going to take him at some point, whether for one reason or another. Particularly since the lockdown in March of 2020, I sensed it coming, and ever since then had been just crying and grieving and mourning him at various points. It's like, I don't know if it was every month, but maybe at least every few months I would have a moment where I would just kind of wonder what it would be like when he passed on. What would life be like? How would me and my mom handle it? Would we, handle it well? Would everything just fall apart? I also had, something in my throat. Anxiety about just like my mom, because she and I are both very emotional people. And she... Between the two of us, I honestly probably have more self-control emotionally. And she just, is a very passionate person. And, she doesn't really hold back emotionally. And so I was very concerned about, how would she handle it when my dad passed? Because every time someone in the family passes away, and especially if she's with them in person, like she's caring for them, she's visiting them, and they pass on, like her brother, my godfather, did in 2004, like she'll faint. She'll just be so overtaken with emotion. She'll do everything she can to save them, and, she'll just... be so attached, and she just has such trouble letting go of anyone in her family or our family. She always just gets overtaken and overwhelmed, and at some point will faint. And I just didn't really know what to expect. On Sunday, June 12th, I remember hearing my mom yelling on the phone a lot. She mostly had been in contact with the doctors, and the ICU called her and told her he passed on, and she just was so angry and sad and possibly in some level of denial. And, she eventually told me, and all I could do was cry and sob. Like when I experienced getting the news, I just felt, it's that saying, like I felt like I got hit by a ton of bricks. Like it just was so shocking. Like even though for the past 3 months he had been in the hospital and the doctors had been warning us that, his organs were failing, and he just, it didn't seem like he would live very much longer. Even though it was kind of expected and we were prepared for all possibilities, I It was still shocking. It still stopped me in my tracks. And, very soon I just, I just realized the truth, and I, there was no denying it. It wasn't a huge surprise, but it still hurt to experience it. I think for me, I had, like I said in the beginning, I had been knowing that it was upcoming and unavoidable, and I think throughout the past 2 years of anticipatory grief that I experienced, I think that I just went through various stages of the grieving process ahead of time, and I feel like although it still hurt to get the news the day of, that I had already just done so much grieving and work around it. I did a lot of self-care, a lot of, kind of preparation. I had been going to the death cafes, as I mentioned in, I think, my fourth episode. So I had, a support system to kind of vent to and cry with. I did a lot of spiritual work, out in nature and for like with ocean therapy and nature therapy, tree therapy, just the Mother Earth, this planet really held me while I was going through these stages. And I think that by the time he had gone to the hospital, I was very close to the last stage of grief, which I believe is acceptance. And so I think by the time the day came, I had already created so much kind of closure and acceptance around, the idea that eventually he would not be here in the physical world anymore. And I still cried though, like the first day, up to the first 3 days, I just was depressed and of course mourning and releasing and crying and, really processing like the official ascent of his soul to heaven or the afterlife or whatever you believe in. My mom's really Catholic, but me and my dad are free spirits, so we're not really too attached to any one theology or, I don't know, verbiage of what happens after you pass on, or with spirituality or whatever. Yeah, the first 3 days were hard, and I mostly cried. I drank a lot of coffee for me, which was like, at least one cup a day, and sometimes up to two. Sometimes I'd switch off between coffee and matcha. But yeah, I just couldn't really do anything but cry for the first 3 days. I didn't work. I didn't really do much, I think, other than like eat, drink. And I think I watched some things, but I wasn't really paying attention to what I was watching. A bunch of YouTube. Once I started to calm down, I just really started to reflect on my dad's life and my life with him. And I realized it's just really funny how angry you could be at a parent while they're alive. But as they are dying and passing on, you start to realize all the good things and the good times you shared and all the lessons you learned from them, all the qualities that you kind of gained from them. Even if it wasn't obvious in the moment. Like for me, it was my dad's humor, all quirky and nerdy, and his repetitive stories of how he grew up poor and made it to America, and then made it in America. I started to realize, you know, he wasn't just bragging, he wasn't just being gregarious. You know, he wanted me to know how hard he really worked to be here and to have me, his only child, be born in this country, you know, the most powerful country in the world, at least at this time. And, you know, he did it at a much later age. Like, you know, he had a tough childhood. He grew up with an alcoholic father and what seemed like a pretty neglectful mother, and he ran away from home for like a decade when he was like 8 and came back home when he was 18 and just started to work and pay for school at the same time. So he was a decade later than his classmates, which means he was like a full-on adult attending high school and college. And it was probably embarrassing back then because he was born in 1933. You know, he's part of the silent generation, so he's old enough to be my grandpa. He had me when he was in his 50s, so he's old, you know, especially for that time. Now it might be like more normal or just like more accepting, but in his time, his age was much, much older to go to school and get married and have a family. But you know, he made it work, and you know, he would repeat the story to me at least every year, if not a few times, every single freaking year before his dementia. And you know, I didn't really appreciate it back then. I didn't really understand the context and what it all really meant when I was a kid. But you know, now I realize how important that story was to him for me to know, because he really defied the odds. And you know, it's just that was just one of many examples of me, I don't know, just like realizing the kind of person my father really was and what he really had to go through as a human being. And you know, what I guess what I meant to him and what he meant to me, at the end of it all, despite all of our arguments when I was growing up, like, because he's very cerebral and I'm very emotional, and that kind of dynamic doesn't always work out. You know, we didn't really have great, you know, communication. And you know, he's a silent generation, right? So they didn't really talk much anyway. Plus, he was an introvert. I mean, I'm his child, so you know, it's not like I had enough knowledge and life experience to know how to really understand him and to how to communicate to him what I needed as a more sensitive and emotional person than him. You know, and you know, during this time as he was dying, oh no, after he passed on, and you know, just reflecting on our life together, I just found myself kind of crying less and less each day, which was amazing. And again, I attribute that to grieving so much for the 2 years prior, leading up to it. And I think it's because I just started to see the beauty in the pain, you know, in the struggle to communicate with him and to express myself, and also realizing that he was actually just such a happy-go-lucky, cool guy. Like, I used to just think he was cold and distant because, as an introvert, he spent a lot of time on his own and he liked to go on adventures by himself, and just get a break from the family life. And, you know, he and my mom argued a lot too, because she and I are similar. So I'm sure it was just too dramatic and emotional for him, and he just wanted time to relax, which I now realize. You know, but you know, despite all of that, I realized he was a happy-go-lucky guy, and he just wanted to enjoy his life no matter what. And you know, you gotta respect that. Like, you know, he had his boundaries and he enforced them, even if the enforcement was to escape. and to avoid, he did what he needed to do for his own mental health. And I feel like the older I get, the more I'm becoming like my father, actually. I wouldn't say that I'm no longer emotional and no longer sensitive, but I think I just now, as I get older, incorporate more wisdom and more acceptance of different perspectives. So I do feel like I'm also logical and that I am also someone who doesn't take things as personally as I used to, now that I just have more life experience and like more knowledge. Thank God for YouTube. and the conversations around mental health these days, I think it's just helped me become more grounded and not so easily caught up with my emotions like I used to be. And just, I think also similar to my father, I am a late bloomer in life. And, considering that he was much older than his classmates and his peers, but he still did what he needed to do to get back on track in life. He got himself out of poverty. He survived. He became financially independent. He still achieved every goal in his checklist, even though it was later than he expected and later than society expected for him. He taught me that, it's just like never too late to do what you want to do to achieve your dreams. If you're still alive, you can still reinvent yourself and transform your life. And, you don't have to let the opinions of others influence how you live your life, no matter how old you are. With willpower and free will, anything is possible. And, there's just all this great legacy that I learned from him and that I intend to live by in his honor. And so, I think now, reflecting on the process, I probably was like super sad for at least the first week, if not also the second. And during that time, we of course had his funeral and his viewing and saw a lot of people we hadn't seen in a long time, and it was cool to see old familiar faces and his old friends, the memories of the holidays we used to share in celebration when I was a kid. And I think, also during this time, which is, I don't know, kind of unfortunate, but also kind of helpful, I think, is that, I've been really feeling a strong desire to become financially independent, like I'm sure many of us do. And, I'm gonna be 38 this year, almost 40, and I still live with my mom. I still live with my family, and I am grateful for what we have. We live in a nice, safe, clean neighborhood. It's a good location. I'm grateful we do have this house as an asset, but I really need my freedom. And I think something that has also helped me avoid dwelling in the grieving and the sadness is just having such strong goals to improve my life the way my dad and mom improved theirs, both of them coming from poverty, both of them making it in America. And I don't know if my future involves, like, my future success involves me moving to another country to find success. I would be open to that. But it's sort of like, I've been grieving for the past 2 years. I've cried, I think, all of it out at this point after a month. And, after the first 2 weeks of grieving his official departure from this world, I just started getting back to work and working events and kind of distracting myself with work and goals and, other people, like working with other people, the customer service. I enjoy working with customers and other people. I like greeting them and making people feel welcome and answering their questions and being helpful. It's been a great experience to just really get back into the workforce more, and I'm applying to things like Hell, I'm temping, I'm freelancing, I'm, currently building my Upwork freelance writing profile and reading the terms of service, which seems to be taking forever, but I do want to be official and treat it seriously. So I'm reading all those legal freaking terms. It's been like a week and I got 3 pages left to go. Yeah, I swear those legal terms, I know they need to be there, but wow, sometimes like you're like on number one and number one has like 100 paragraphs or sections, and it's like, oh my God, when is it gonna be number two? But no, it's necessary, and I feel pretty confident so far with what I know about Upwork's terms of service. And yeah, I do plan to maybe be on Fiverr and for sure Contra and LinkedIn, and because I love writing as well, self-expression. I'm still working on my eczema, book, my first not novel. Yeah, just like my first book that I plan to self-publish. And like, I just have big dreams, big goals, and I think that has helped me to just be able to move on a little faster. I don't know. Yeah, 2 years grieving. I don't know. But, considering the day of has just been a month, I'm grateful. I have also been socializing through Meetup and just, doing different things, playing games, going to events, working on my projects. I've kind of been playing around with like markers, like those alcohol markers that are popular now. Not Copic, I'm not serious about it, so I'm not gonna spend a lot of money on markers, but I've been drawing more and just getting creative, getting back into guitar. I actually took a break from learning it and from doing any musical stuff on TikTok or anywhere. Just because the stress of, my dad being in the ICU just was like reaching a breaking point, I feel like, for me, kind of. And just trying to be there for my mom too the best way that I can. But yeah, now I would say a month later, I've cried a lot. I still have moments, sometimes I have moments. Maybe I get, I have a memory pop up or something, but another thing that has greatly helped me processing this time too has been this YouTuber psychic medium named Matt Fraser, spelled Fraser, his last name Fraser, and I know he's like a fun guy. I think he's from Long Island or maybe New York. He definitely has an East Coast accent, and he talks about what it's like on the other side for the spirits, because he speaks to spirits directly, those who have passed on, and he gets direct information from them about what heaven or the afterlife is like. And it doesn't seem that bad. It actually seems like everyone, including people who you might think have not had the most perfect life or ethical track record, sort of get a chance to review their lives and see everything, and they get to watch over their family and make sure they're doing okay. If they were in pain or had dementia or anything, they'll be healed. In the spirit realm, they will be in full healthy form, in the form that they are happiest in, and proudest in. And it actually doesn't seem like dying is that bad, like, in terms of your soul. I'm sure there's another space for those who have, more karmic lessons to learn, but it seems like the average human being, even an imperfect one, kind of gets a chance to create their own version of heaven after they pass on, and they get to reunite with their loved ones, and it just seems like they get to do whatever they want, that they're totally free. So, That's nice. Dying seems less scary. Not that I want to do it anytime soon. I still have a lot of things I'd like to experience in the physical world. I still have a lot more fun to have, a lot more adventures to go on, and messages to share. So, I'm appreciating my life at this time, and I'm hustling and working towards my financial freedom, and I'm confident I will achieve it this year because I'm willing to put in the work. And I mean, I'm putting in that work. I am applying to so many things. I'm interviewing to so many places. I feel like both from a job applicant and like an employer standpoint, that because of the pandemic and because we all realize that life is so unpredictable, I feel like everyone's just being a lot pickier, including myself. I'm finding myself to be a lot pickier about the positions that I apply for. And I find that if I do get an interview, and I've been on a handful, that although I get along with the interviewer, there is a lot more hesitation about hiring me, or just hiring in general. And, a lot of these positions I see that I think probably would have been filled in pretty easily like 5 years ago, they're like up for over 30 days, like positions, just basic customer service positions. They're like, on these websites for months, because they're still not being filled. And I understand. It totally makes sense. I know that I am a strong interviewer, and that, at a regular time in the world when we're all feeling safe and, there's not a pandemic, I would probably have a job right now. But, I think we're all just making sure that we are surrounding ourselves with mentally stable people who actually fit into the culture and won't cause drama and will hopefully stick around for a while. So, I'm doing that. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping for the best. In the meantime, I'm also building my freelance writing career online. I'm taking my time to be selective about the websites that I choose to be on and to take the time to read their terms of service to really know what I'm getting myself into. And to really know how these websites work. Excuse me. And that's just like the current agenda. So, 1 month in, it's still sad, but I'm still able to enjoy my life. I'm, purposefully staying busy with work and with socializing. I'm going to meetup groups. I'm meeting new people. I'm, in a way, kind of like refilling the space that is now there because my dad is gone. And now I have room to fill up that space with new people and new experiences. And I don't know, maybe even new love. I'm looking for a nice nerdy guy who's into comic books, who's kind and humble. I know I just made an episode a few episodes ago. Was it the last one? Was it the one before that? Just before that, like about being, I could die happy single. And I still stand behind that. I really could be happy, to die single. But I don't know. For some reason lately, I feel like there's something in the air where I'm like becoming more receptive to the idea of possibly dating again, but still being very selective and attempting to be as realistic as possible with expectations, if any. Because, you just never know what to expect. But I'll just say, recently I, met someone at a event that I was working at, and he was very nerdy and kind and humble and so sweet. And we just had such a fun time talking about comic books and X-Men, and he really likes Spider-Man, and it was like such a deep convo too. It was just like a fun convo, and I felt like I could have talked to him all night about just even just about comic books, possibly about many other subjects. He seems like a pretty open-minded, chill guy. But I'm pretty sure, like, if I were to type him, he'd be an INTP, and I am an INFP. Sometimes I'm J-like, but I think I'm really an INFP. I'm just like, gosh, INTP men. I think they're for me. And when I reflect back, I think that's what my dad's type was too, for the Myers-Briggs personality test. I'm just kind of finding that, realistically, I am into the personality type that my dad was. So, it's not a surprise, right? Your parents and your family are like your first experiences of socializing and of love and connection, so it makes sense. But hopefully I meet him again. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, but for now I'm still doing my own thing, super busy, super ambitious and focused, but also still taking care of myself and making sure I get enough rest and I'm well fed and enjoying everything that I'm doing, which I really am. And thank God for that. If you would like to keep up with me, I have a website, teresaalabada.com, all one word, my name.com. And if you like what I've shared today and would like to support me, you can contribute to my online tip jar at buymecoffee.com/lovelyday FAPS. And if you like to show even more support, you could shop my Threadless merch shop at teresaalabada.threadless.com. Remember, just because things are the way they are for now, does not mean it has to be this way forever. If you're alive, you have time to change, turn things around, and contribute to a positive impact and positive future for yourself and the world. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you at the next episode. Be well.